Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'un Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam. And on the line we have is Maulana Muhammad Ali from Maribel. Maulana, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Maulana, how are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, we can continue the program.
Jazakumullah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for having sent down such numerous blessings upon us in different forms. Some we are aware of, some we are unaware of, some we are busy enjoying with total consciousness. And some we are busy enjoying without even knowing that this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one specific blessing that we always remind ourselves that we are enjoying is that we have been granted guidance and we have been shown the straight path and we are continuously being given enlightenment on this path through the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He himself is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. He himself is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards mankind. And every teaching of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but guidance and goodness for all of us who choose to follow it. And those who don't choose to follow it also are depriving themselves. So we must at all times acknowledge this great ni'mat and continuously look for ways of how we can acquire more knowledge regarding the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent as a Nabi and as a Rasul. And besides that, we find that in this mission of his, where he was fulfilling his obligation and his responsibility as a Nabi and as a Rasul, he did various tasks. One of them was that he continuously taught those whom he was sent to. That's why the name that we are discussing at this point in time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Al-Muallim, the great teacher, the perfect teacher. And as we have pointed out in the past 2 weeks, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously taught the people. It was not a setup. For example, we have from the morning, for example, those who go to the Muslim school, for example, from 8 till 3, or whatever time it might be, or those who go to the Maktab, maybe from 2:30 till 5, or those who go to Darul Ulooms, they have their hours, or those who have Monday to Fridays, etc. No, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is and was a teacher of this caliber and of this degree and of this type, that he was continuously teaching. There was no 8 to 5. There was no weekends off. There was no holidays off as we are prone to have become used to. You know, if the people say we now need a holiday. The teachers also say we need a holiday. The ustaz, the ulama also say we need a bit of a break now. But Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a continuous process of teaching the people. And also we find Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching was not specifically confined to a classroom, to four walls. Yes, he did teach between four walls. One of them was the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we hear in the ahadith, the Suffah is where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach. The Sufa, inshallah, we'll discuss that at a later stage when we discuss some other aspects of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's learning and teaching. But here, when we talk about this, the classroom, it was Masjid al-Nabawi. But besides Masjid al-Nabawi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught in his home. There were Sahaba that were around there, maybe there was Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there were the Sahabiyya, there were people who used to come and visit. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach on the road also. In this way that when he was walking and there was Sahaba with him, then maybe he will point out something to them, or he would have given them some other kind of an advice to tell them that, you know what, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say about a certain thing, whether he came across a house, or whether he came across maybe a dead goat lying there on the road, and he wanted to show something of the insignificance of the world. So he used that as an example. He used vegetation, he used plantation. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on journey. Even that was a madrasa for him. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was camped out sometimes somewhere along the way. Even there he used to teach the people. And likewise on the battlefield itself he was teaching. On the occasion of Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated on a camel. And the people were watching how he was executing all the aspects of Hajj, from where we get all our masail of Hajj. And he was saying, خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, that learn from me all the rites and rituals of Hajj. So we find that the teaching and the place of teaching was not confined to a classroom. Therefore, we should also try and be teachers all the time. The one aspect of this name of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that we should at every and any occasion be either learning or be teaching. So if we are learning, because we have to learn, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةً, that it is an obligation, it is a farz to acquire knowledge. Or else then we should be teaching. And whoever we are teaching, wherever we get an opportunity, bring in aspects of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn the people's attention to the everlasting life of the hereafter, about Jannah, about the benefits of this world, of the following the Quran, the benefits of Sunnah, the benefits of leading a proper, upright life, whatever it might be. We can be teaching at all times, to such an extent that even when we are teaching those things that are not directly found in the Quran, for example, maybe we are teaching our child something, maths, or we are teaching them something with regard to their schoolwork, it is undoubtedly also linked to the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to the Anbiya alayhimu salam into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One way or the other, directly or indirectly, we will find there is a link. And we should use that opportunity also to actually link up the mind of the child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wherever it might be, we are at all times learning, or we are then teaching. And this is the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we must remember that when it came to teaching, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not keep the portfolio of teaching exclusive to himself. What we are saying is he did not monopolize it, that I only am the teacher. Yes, he was only the teacher in the sense that whatever knowledge came, divine knowledge came to him, it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he did not leave it at that. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a great desire that everyone should become literate, everyone should become enlightened and educated, and everyone should have that amount of knowledge that they are able to lead their life. Because if people remain illiterate and if people remain ignorant, then they will be living a life of open deviation. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out in the Quran Kareem, he says that وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, that before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the people, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the people anything, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, before he taught them these things, وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, the people were leading lives in open deviation, totally against the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Poor people did not know better. So that is how we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to remove this deviation and this ignorance, where he wanted each and every person to learn. And he promoted learning in every way. So what he knew and what he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to impart, he did. And where he knew that people had some other kind of knowledge, he exhorted them to pass it on. And where he found that his people, amongst whom he was, did not have any kind of expertise or skill or knowledge, he looked for any opportunity where they could learn. We know the famous incident that on the occasion of Badr, that some prisoners of war, captives, were brought to Medina Munawwara. And the ransom for some of these captives was this, that they had to teach the Ahl-e Medina some skill which these people had possessed. So these captives probably were skilled and they were learned in some fields. And this was not Islamic fields, you must remember that. These were not dini fields, as we can say. These were skills because these were all mushrikeen, these were all kuffar. So somebody maybe knew mathematics, somebody maybe knew something related to hisab, somebody knew some other kind of a skill to a language, or somebody knew whatever to read, whatever it was. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, the ransom for this particular prisoner, the one who knows something, is he must teach 10 of our people. Subhanallah. Now what a beautiful thought and what a brilliant thought and what foresight Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had and how he took advantage of the situation for the betterment of the Muslimin. That okay, we are going to release these prisoners, but then we don't have to take money because maybe sometime we can exchange some kind of a ransom in terms of wealth. But here the ransom that he exchanged was that of knowledge. So if we can acquire some kind of learning from these people, we will upgrade ourselves, we will enhance our own selves, and inshallah we will progress. So here we find the importance of that kind of skill and that kind of knowledge we can refer here to, as which is not normally taught in the madrasas or in the Darul Ulooms, and which is normally used in mundane activities, in worldly activities, which is nevertheless necessary for people to be able to lead comfortable and proper lives. Subhanallah. So here we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that opportunity also. Then there's a very beautiful hadith that has been narrated by Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Abza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, once Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the people. Now in this address, he was educating, but there was one point he highlighted with regard to what I'm talking about now, about educating and taking the cause of education forward. He praised Allah Ta'ala and extolled him. He then mentioned some groups of Muslims and spoke highly of them among the Muslimin. So Madani Dora, so the Madani era, as you would say. So people could have known who he is referring to. He spoke very highly about them. Thereafter he said, what is wrong with some people who do not educate and teach their neighbors? Now look at this. What is wrong with some people? They do not educate and teach their neighbors. What is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about here? That these people have got knowledge, they are educated, and they are in a situation where they are living next to such neighbors who need to be taught, who need to be educated. Obviously, in this day and age, the situation is such that you need to learn, you need to go to a school, you need to go to a madrasa, you need to go to a college, you need to go to a university, you need to go to a skill center, you need to go to a training center, you need to go to some other institute of education or learning and training, whatever it might be. Here Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that if a person does not have access to any of those things, and you as a neighbor has got some important knowledge or skill, then you are supposed to teach them. So here he was kind of admonishing those people who are educated. He says, what is wrong with some people? They do not educate and teach their neighbors. They do not explain to them. He says, مَا بَالَ أَقْوَامٌ لَا يُفَقِّحُونَ جِيرَانَهُمْ وَلَا يُعَلِّمُونَهُمْ وَلَا يُفَطِّنُونَهُمْ وَلَا يُفَطِّنُونَهُمْ means they do not explain and enlighten and open matters up to them. Why? What's wrong with them? They do not command them towards good, and they do not prohibit them from evil. Why is it that people don't do that? So here Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not only talking about education, or he is not only talking about enlightening people and saving them from ruin. He's pointing out another thing also, which can be a different discussion at a different time, about the rights of neighbors. So probably he's talking about the neighborhood of a person. If in your neighborhood there are people that are not aware of certain things, whichever thing it may be. We're not talking about direct education. And in this day and age, we know in our own country, where we have the tendency of having non-Muslim neighbors, or neighbors in our neighborhood that are not Muslim, it is very important that we establish a rapport with them, and we let them know what the deen is, first of all, and then thereafter, fulfill our obligation of inviting them towards joining the deen. These are two things we are supposed to do. Besides all the other neighborly rights that we are supposed to fulfill, as has been mentioned in the ahadith. So one of them would be then, that apart from telling them about who we are and educating them, if it is Muslimin neighbors, for example, and they have a need for being taught, if we know, for example, and this is such a common thing, people in our neighborhood don't know how to read Quran, people in our neighborhood do not have the method of salah, they do not know what du'as to read, then we should try and make some kind of a fikr, some kind of a worry. Alhamdulillah, we find maybe we have some activities taking place in the masjid, subhanallah. But there are a lot of things that cannot happen in the masjid, and because the imam or the people that are normally expected to take on this responsibility cannot fulfill it because of their own heavy schedules and tight schedules, it falls then on the people of the neighborhood to just make this little fikr. So we might have ladies' ta'aleem, alhamdulillah, taking place. We might have some additional ta'aleem ladies have in different forms, where, you know, certain specific areas of learning are focused on, for example, only on surahs, on du'as, on masail. That is obviously separate from the normal weekly ta'aleem which the ladies take as per the command of or the instruction of our elders in Nizamuddin. Then we have, besides that, you know, ghusl classes and kafan classes and various other things with regard to the proper Islamic lifestyle. And in this day and age, we find there are so many foreigners that have come into our country. They are getting married to the indigenous people. And these ladies, the indigenous ladies, need to be taught. And the people who have married them are involved in some other kind of worldly activity. They do not have the time, neither do they have the capacity of educating them. This is a common problem or a common issue matter that comes up within us at all times. So we have to establish some kind of a forum, some kind of a class whereby these ladies, indigenous ones who have been married, are then taught, because then inshallah they will be the mothers of the next generation who are going to be coming to us and to our madaris and who are going to be living amongst us. And if inshallah the mother is properly educated with regard to dini activities, subhanallah, then we will have beautiful fruits being born, in the sense that children are educated, they will read beautiful Quran. And in those places where this kind of classes are already taking place, subhanallah, it is so encouraging to see what beautiful Quran and what beautiful akhlaq these children grow up with. And this is the akhirah for everyone. So one is what the Mawlid Sahib is doing, one is what the Imam is doing, one is whatever is taking place in madrasa. But one is what we as mothers and sisters, or normal fathers and brothers, if you want to call, are doing in as far as this teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned. Why do people not explain their neighbors? Why do they not teach them? Why do they not tell them what is wrong? And why do they not inform them about doing that what is correct? Further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and what is wrong with some people? Now first he said, those who not teach. What's wrong? Why don't they teach? Now he turned it around. He says, and he said, what is wrong with some people? What is wrong with them? That they don't learn from their neighbors. So one is, if you got some knowledge, you must go out. And those who don't have knowledge, on the other hand, why is it they don't come and learn? Why is it they do not educate themselves through their neighbors? Why is it that they do not try and understand Islam from them? These are the words of reprimand, you can call, and the words of fikr, worry, and concern coming from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says, I take an oath by Allah that people should certainly teach their neighbors, educate them, make them understand, command them towards that what is good, and prohibit them from that what is evil. And people should certainly learn from their neighbors, educate themselves through them, and try to understand from them. If not, I anticipate punishment for them in this world. So we can see how serious and how severe neglect of this particular responsibility is. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is emphasizing, you see, he was al-mu'allim al-a'zam, the greatest teacher. And he is not just keeping the science of teaching to himself and the practice of teaching to himself, but he is saying it has to go. So those who know, they must go and teach the others. And those who don't know should make an effort of going to learn. And he says that if this is not going to happen, and they're not going to, he says, I'm afraid there's a punishment for them in this world. What is this punishment? It could be for neglecting this duty of not learning and teaching. That's how serious it is. So we find that Islamic culture, and we find Islam as a whole, how come it spread so far and so wide? How come Islam became such a prestigious and such a dominating force that when people used to enter the various countries, then the subjects of those countries, the citizens of the countries, saw the leaders and they saw the soldiers that were entering there, the conquerors entering in there, or the da'is, it depends in which way the people entered, which was da'is, and they immediately took to them. And we must remember that all those areas that had been conquered during the era of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, for example, are predominantly Muslim till today. What was it that the Muslimin went and left in that place? What legacy, what foundation did they set? What is it? They took some diamonds there, they took some lot of money there, they, you know, invested in this day and age. It's about investment. You know, foreign money, if it is invested in that place, then you find that the people of that country become indebted to you, the people of that land become linked up to you. You know, we have got old historical investments with these people, so we have to keep that in mind. We've got a very good business partnership and international links, trade links with them, and that is what it was about. But here we find, what was it the Muslimin went with? They did not go and invest with anything. They went and they planted the seeds of such beautiful learning and teaching that those people adopted it, and after that we find that the foundation, the solid foundation of Islam was set and the building of Islam was erected, that till today Islam is the dominating force in most of these countries. All of these countries is not dominating, almost the dominating culture and the dominating deen in all these places. So this was as a result of the legacy of learning and teaching which the da'is and which the Muballighin took from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Hajjatul Wida, for example. He says, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descended. We continue the hadith. He enters his house. Some people started talking. Who do you think he was referring to? Now, in the bayan, he was a bit cross today, he was a bit angry today. He was shouting, you know, that why people are not learning. That's what happens in a masjid. Hey, who was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referring to? So someone said, we think he is referring to the Ash'ariyin, because they are very learned people. And while their neighbors are very uncouth people, who are inhabiting the oases in the rural areas. So he's probably talking about the Ash'ariyin. They've got a lot of knowledge, but they're not doing anything about it. So the Ash'ariyin obviously felt a bit offended or felt a bit upset. They say that we are being given a hiding in a masjid. We're being leathered here. So the Ash'ariyin came to know of this, and therefore they approached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said to him, O Rasulullah, you mentioned some people in very glowing terms, and you spoke about us in not so glowing terms. What have we done wrong? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, people should certainly educate their neighbors, make them understand, command them that what is good, prohibit them from that what is evil, and people should certainly learn from their neighbors, try to understand from them, educate themselves, if not, I anticipate punishment for them in this world. So basically, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same bayan of his again to the Ash'ariyin, who felt that they were being addressed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said, O Rasulullah, should we make others understand? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated what he had said to them. Yes. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. So they asked the question again, should we make others understand? In other words, teaching is your job. You are the muallim. Why must we teach? But this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching them. That after you have learnt, you go and you teach. That's what the important thing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again repeated what he had said to them. So then they said, okay, so basically, subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sending forward an entire group of teachers whom he had created by teaching them. They had now become able, and he had confidence in their learning and in their teaching. That is why he was reprimanding them. And he wanted the cause of Islam to grow, and he wanted people to become knowledgeable. That is why he gave this bayan. So they said, okay, give us a respite of 1 year to educate our neighbors. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them respite for 1 year in order to educate their neighbors, to teach them and to make them understand. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recited the verse. They were cursed. Who? He recited a verse. The believers from among the Bani Israel, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي Israel, by the tongue of Dawood Isa alayhi salam. By Dawood and Isa alayhi salam. This is because they were disobedient and transgressed the bounds. They would not prevent one another from the evil which they committed. How evil is that what they were doing? عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَ بْنِ مَرْيَمْ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْ وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهُونَ عَمْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. So here we find the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has recited the same verse. And in that verse we find that he is using it to exhort the people that the process of learning and teaching should continue. And alhamdulillah, apart from all the other learning and teaching that takes place in this day and age, in what we can call the formal institutions, whether our makatib, our madaris, our darul ulums and so forth, we've got the moving madrasa, the Tabligh Jamaat brothers, that are going around from masjid to masjid, and that are reviving this particular sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inviting people and teaching them in the masajid, and conscientizing them to learn. So we find that, alhamdulillah, in this day and age is taking place, and Ijtima also is coming very, very shortly, where the same fikr is going to be revived once again. And everyone should take it upon themselves to be involved in this, that they fulfill this great responsibility of teaching others, which has been placed upon them by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq wa ma'alina ila al-balagh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Maulana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'un Nabi program with Maulana Muhammad Ali. From myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.